I know you all do. You know, I never used to think of this when I would preach, think, well, this is just a passage of Scripture. Now when I look at it, I think, well, I think somebody else would be blessed with it as well if they think back on things that have been. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. I'm going to read it as it's printed, and then I'm going to do something that I haven't done in quite a while. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to preach from it in reverse order. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now, oftentimes when grammatically is written this way, it refers to what's gone on before. This is not. The proper interpretation would be it looks forward. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. And then he tells why he has hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And Matt read that this morning in Psalms 103. He has not dealt with us after our iniquities. So it's throughout the Scriptures. It's basically throughout the Scriptures. The believer who understands what he is, understands his flesh, understands his sinful nature that he carries with him until he dies. He knows he's not getting any better. Yes, he grows in grace, but better? No. Because evil is present with the believer. Always is. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, as I said, I'm going to look at this. I'm going to start at verse 26 and go backwards. To hope and wait upon God and the salvation of God in Christ is a beautiful thing. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The reason why we hope and the reason why we're waiting, because the drawn sinner, the sinner who is being drawn by the Holy Spirit of God, is made aware that we can do absolutely nothing to hurry salvation. Now, you parents with children, and I don't care if the children are 20 years old, 25, 29, or 2. You cannot hurry salvation. Salvation is not on your time frame. Not on my time frame. It's on God's time frame. We can do absolutely nothing to hurry salvation. We have zero power over God to quicken his grace to us or upon any sinner. We're just like Moses of old when he escaped out of the land of Egypt. He came to the Red Sea. His back is towards the Red Sea. He's facing the full wrath of the Egyptian army. And what did God say? Or what did Moses say to the people? Stand still. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. The issue with today's religion is they're trying to do something for God, and God's not paying any attention. He's not noticing their puny, useless works. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. You can't go this way. It's a sea. You look back, and here comes the army. Sure annihilation. See and watch and stand still and wait for God's work to work his free, unchanging grace and full deliverance towards those of us undeserving sinners, all through the Lord Jesus Christ. In this religious day and age of activity and noise and vile, useless works, stand still. It is good that a man, that a woman, that a child should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, for the free grace of the Lord. Because that's the only way salvation comes. You may be waiting for God. You may be in a different church where you're not hearing the gospel. You're not waiting on the salvation of the Lord. You're waiting on the inventions of man. You're waiting on this so-called Holy Spirit movement to get somebody up and start bouncing and jumping and moving around. No. I know this world thinks we, or the believer, or the church of the living God, is crazy. All we do is come and sing hymns, pray to God, ask for His blessings, and hear the preaching of the Word. But there's more to it. This is 2015. This is contemporary. No. Contemporary worship mocks the grace of God. Puppets, all these different things, inventions of men, they may be morally accurate. They may be keeping people off the streets, but God's not going to use it. He just doesn't use it. He uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This noisy generation. Behold God, who is in Christ Jesus, reconciling sinners unto Himself. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He saves us through the reconciling work of the Lord, unassisted by us, unaided by us, and certainly unwanted by us. Wait, I say. It may come at the age 10. I just threw that number out there. It may come at the age 20, 50, 99. But wait and look only towards Christ. Look only towards Jehovah God. Wait. Wait. Come and hear the gospel preached. Wait. Let us reason together. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to do something for our children. But wait. I've seen way too many times where parents will, and they may not twist the arm, literally, but they'll put them under bondage and they'll get a decision out of the children. And then when they get older, where are they at? Where are they at? Wait. On the Lord. It is good. It is good for a man, a woman, to should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 25. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Why is it good? The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. One, because God is good. And He's good towards them that solely and singularly wait and seek Him. That woman, who is this that I should believe? Or that man that was excommunicated by the Pharisees when he was couldn't walk, and now, or he's born blind. And then, the Lord healed him. He didn't know who Christ was. He knew he was blind, and now he saw. And then the Pharisees came and questioned him. They said, "I think it's this guy. It looks like this guy." And he says, "I am that guy." So they bring in his parents. And of course, they had him all under bondage. If you say certain things, if you identify yourself with this Christ, you're going to be excommunicated. And that doesn't mean the same thing it does in this generation. To be excommunicated from it would be like the Church of England, the church religion, the state's religion. That's it. You're out. They said, "He's of age, ask him." Ask him. Did you not understand me? I said, I don't know who it was. I said, I'm him. Then when they cast him out and they made fun of him and they excommunicated him and all this other thing, the Lord came to him. The Lord sought him out again. He said, do you believe that the Son of God? He says, who is this? I should believe. He says, the one standing here talking to you. I'm him. I'm he. Wait. It is good unto them that wait. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Seek and you shall find, the scripture says. Wait and you shall possess. Him only. You see, in this world, it's a good thing to diversify and expand and to have multiple routes and routines of income and hope and advancement, but not God. God's ways are not our ways. God has everything the sinner needs, and he's placed it, I've said before, in one basket. One basket. One way, one life, one truth, and that's all in the person of his dear Son, the Christ, the Anointed, the ladder, Jacob's ladder, the scapegoat, the elder brother, our beloved spouse. It is the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Him and him alone. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. You notice how this word hope and wait, it's just coming up throughout these verses. Our hope is well grounded if God is our portion. Now this word portion here in this text specifically means allotment. Allotment. Part. Part. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And verse 57. David says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. Thou art my portions. Thou art my allotment. You're my part. Psalms 16 and verse 5. This means a little bit different. It has the same connotations. 16 verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. He is our inheritance. He is our part. And with him being so, that's more than enough. That's more than enough. You remember the parable of the prodigal son? Give me my inheritance. Give me my lot. Give me my portion, which comes to me. He went out and it didn't last. It didn't last. Not so. If you've waited on the Lord, if you've hoped in the Lord, and he's your portion, you cannot, for better phrasing, you cannot outspend him. You can EXP all day long. expenditure. Now, when we write checks, got to go to the checkbook and say, okay, I got enough here to cover it. That's not with our Lord. He is our portion. And you want something that just totally amazes me and blows me away. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. In case any of us have ever doubted the Lord's thoughts and actions towards us, we his people who have made him our hope, we who have waited for his salvation, we who seek him, we who have made him our portion by God's free and sovereign grace, not of ourselves. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. What? That kind of flips it around, doesn't it? The Lord's portion is his people. We're his by right, we're his by death, we're his by covenant. We're his by privilege. On and on we could go. We're his portion. Therefore, we can't help but make him our portion. I'll get back to this in a little bit. Back to our text, verses 23 and 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. What? His mercies. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Once we truly see that Christ is our hope, our desire, and our portion, we must also see, and we will see, simply put, we did not deserve the heart of any of these mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We realize that His faithfulness is great even when ours is not. His faithfulness is great even when ours is not. But understanding that we, as was read in this morning's reading in Psalms 103, He has not dealt with us after our iniquities. That is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. These two things, God's grace and our inability, God's highness and our lowness, they go hand in hand. It's got to be. Like a renewed heart is also a thankful heart. It's a generous heart. It's a melted heart. A new nature is a gracious nature. A forgiven spirit is a forgiving spirit. You just cannot have one. You've got to have the other. These things, says the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, these things accompany salvation. You say, well, salvation is an isolated act. It depends on yes and no, I suppose. But we're always coming to Christ. We never stop coming to Christ. We never stop repenting. We never stop seeing how sinful we are. We're never seeing how ignorant we are outside of His grace. But yet we can do all things through Him that strengthens us. But it's Him, not us. Now Paul says in the book of Hebrews, these things accompany salvation. Labor of love. Ministering to the saints. Hope in God until the end. We're not slothful. We're followers of those that inherit the promises, and on it goes. These things accompany salvation. These things change the life. The regenerated soul is an awakened soul. Dead to the world. Dead to the world. This leads me to my last point in verse 21. This I recall. I like how it's worded in the Hebrew. Make to return to my heart. This I recall to my mind. This I make to return to my heart. Therefore have I hope. All the things that we've just talked about. Waiting on Him. Seeking Him. He being our portion. We understanding that we do not deserve the least of His mercies. Like Paul said, he said it as an aged believer, as an aged saint. He was less than the least. He wouldn't be worthy to be called an apostle. This wasn't just a newbie. This wasn't a neophyte in the Lord. This was an aged believer who said these things. When things are very discouraging, I remind you, who's under inspiration of God, but who wrote this book? The weeping prophet. The book of Lamentations. You don't think he was tried? You don't think he was discouraged? You don't think he was depressed? You don't think there was fightings here, fears here? You don't think all this was going on? This is perhaps, I don't know if he's the most, but he ranks right up there with the most troubled of prophets in the Old Testament. The weeping prophet, he's called, Jeremiah. When things get very discouraging, when things are troublesome, worrisome, and downright disheartening, this I recall to my mind. Take a step back and recall. Recall what the Lord has done for you. What it means to have an allotment, an inheritance, to have God as that allotment, that inherit, that portion. What it means to not be annihilated. What it means when we continually sin against Him, that He's faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Recall these things. Bring them back to your heart. Bring them back to your mind. For out of the heart, the issues of life. Recall all these things, and you will receive hope. I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's not a baseless hope. It's a hope fraught with full and complete confidence. David, as though my house be not, so will God. This kid's, you know, I raised this kid, they're going off. They're going the wrong way. They won't listen to me. It happens. Children are a blessing to the Lord, but there are many troubles follow that. Spouse, friends, neighbors, people who could profess to be believers, but you just don't see any growth going on. Recall these things to your mind and have hope. The only kind of hope and grace that matters. Think on these things. Paul said that in Philippians 4. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, boom, 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 boom. Which brings me kind of back to where I was heading before. How we need to think on Him daily. But it's hard. It's hard to think on the things which are above. We spend entirely too much time thinking on events and circumstances and situations of this world. We really do. We really do. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy because I can just walk over and shut the TV off. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl. I don't care who wins the AFC. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I like it. I'll watch it. But you know what? It pulls me away. Whether it's the commercials or whatever, and I'm just making statements about perhaps me. When you get older in grace, when you start getting the gray and losing the hair, you'll realize a lot of the things that we worried about and a lot of things in this world, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And Bruce made a comment years ago when we were struggling financially or whatever. You said, you know, we talked about losing the house, and that's a big deal. It's home. But you made a comment. Now, whether you believed it or not, I don't know. It was a good comment, so that's why I'm using it. You said, it's just a house. Can't take it with us. You're not going to take it with us. And we start to downsize, start to take stuff, and we're kind of like, you know, we're not going to hoard this stuff. If I haven't used it in a couple of years, I'm going to give it away. Or if I'm going to bring it here to church, the people, I don't need it. Because with the things of this world comes the care of responsibilities of taking care of it. My point is, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. You can recall your health, it's going to be gone. You can recall your pseudo-intellectualism, it's going to wane. You can recall your finances, stable. There's no hope in any of this stuff. You see what I'm doing? I'm trying to knock the props out of everything that we have hope in. And I recall to my mind these things, and I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm saying the younger, the harder it is, because everything's going on. And you have responsibilities that older folks don't have as far as raising the children, but we have other responsibilities. But you just kind of like, there goes one, there goes another. We spend entirely too much time thinking on the events, the circumstances, and situations of this world. This is why we gather together, to think on Christ. Therefore, we have hope. Think on these things. This I recall to my mind. This, very specifically, the person and work and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope. There is hope for the Israel of God. And His name is the adorable and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Recall Him and think upon Him. Lynn and I talk quite a bit, and she's never been one to just noise. You know, I like music. I'll listen to music and I'll do this and that. She's one that's just like, you know what? There's just too much noise. There's too much noise in the world. Everybody's talking. You can't even listen to the sports without having something in the background, which makes it harder for me to hear. I'm old. But you know what? It's not geared towards me. It's geared to the strong and the Under Armour people and the wise. And that's who it's geared to. It's geared to youth. It's not geared to the aged. And it bothers me. But then I think, you know what? Go ahead. Go ahead without me. I'm not of this world anyway. I'm not going to be self-righteous and say, well, I don't do this and I don't talk to these people. No. You're friendly. We're nice. We're believers. These things accompany salvation. But in the end, let us, by God's grace, implore Him to show us how to recall these things to our mind. We're talking today, and I mean, in a matter of about 10 minutes, we had three conversations going. We forgot what we were talking about on everything. She's getting ready to say something. It's just like, but I know, this is all of her stuff, but I can say, you know what? I can sit down. And you say, well, you should pick out a scripture, one scripture that you love, like this one. And just read it. Beautiful. This is what He has done for His people. And we're His portion. We need, by God's grace, to make Him our portion. Bruce, would you close us in the last hymn?
Our Heavenly Father, we think about those that are about us, our friends, people that we work with. We drop a word here and there. We wish so much that they would come to know you.